This is David Flint for Can Do. I'm speaking to Ricky Grinberg about the situation in Ballina and throughout the state of New South Wales concerning local environmental plans. Ricky, can you tell us what these mean, in particular for you and for farmers in your area?
I certainly can, David. The proposed zones of E2 and E3, which were brought into standardised environmental plans throughout New South Wales, have in fact had the catastrophic effect of devaluing properties that it's proposed that are rezoned to it by up to 50%. What's worse is that banks refuse to take a mortgage over properties with an E2 or E3 zone, meaning that if you are trying to sell your property, not only is it devalued, it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to find a cash buyer who wants to buy a piece of property, which may have been a very valuable grazing property or a commercial property like ours, because it is now basically untradeable.
I gather this has had a big effect on values.
Well, we have very hard evidence. We have valuations on properties which have been devalued by more than 50%. And in the valuation, it states previous price, you know, previous worth of the property was X and now worth less than 50% of the original value because of E2 zoning.
And this happens, affects not only people in your sort of business, tourism, which is so important, but I understand it also affects farmers.
Very much so. One third of the Ballina Shire, and indeed quite a few other shires in New South Wales, have been zoned into E2. Now, that means, of course, that as a farmer who has been grazing cattle on his paddock, he might rotate his paddocks, as is terribly common practice, of course, amongst farmers. So he'd leave his paddock or one of his paddocks fallow for 12 months. At that point in time, your existing use rights, which you would be relying on, would be deemed to have lapsed. So you either would either have to put in a DA, a development application with council, for quite a lot of money and time and wait. Do you want me to catch that again?
Yes, sorry,
mate. It's chaos here. I'll just go back.
Ricky, you were explaining to me what happens when a farmer lets one of his paddocks go into fallow and then finds, I understand it, under this extraordinary infraction of his property rights, he has to put in a development application to the local council.
Well, not only that, and he has to go to some expense and some trouble to put in a DA application to re-graze cows or other farm animals on his paddock. But he, in fact, could be refused. It could, in fact, be said by the council that this is intensification of the property, which under an E2 zoning is not allowed, or that his property rights had lapsed within that 12-month period. I mean, we are in a real danger zone as we speak.
What's the purpose of these environmental plans?
Originally, they were drawn up by Sartor in his previous reign under the Labor government. And they had noble virtues attached to them. In other words, to annex land which is not used and could be annexed for almost national park status. And the idea is behind it to sterilise the land of all human occupation and use. Okay? Now, that's fine if you have pristine land that's wilderness that nobody wants and that you want to lock it up and throw away the key and not let anybody use it. But when this is actually applied to working farms, working businesses, it's clearly ludicrous.
What effect is it having on your business?
Well, our business, thankfully, is thriving, but it gives the council potential to shut us down. Specifically under an E2 zone, a caravan park or any sort of tourism is not allowed. Therefore, we would have to actually rely on existing use rights. And as any lawyer will tell you, existing use rights are no rights at all. It means every time we want to do something, we would have to go back, put in an expensive and lengthy DA to do it, and we would be denied it because the purpose of the zone E2 is to sterilise the land. Therefore, they're going to shut down all of our productivity as a tourism destination.
And they seem to be wanting to do this all up and down the coast of New South Wales.
There has been an enormous green push to do this, to reacquire land by stealth. It's like a Stalinist land grab. There's no honesty about it whatsoever. In the actual guidelines from the New South Wales government, which unfortunately weren't mandatory, it said that the local councils may not apply these zones too widely, or if they do, compensation should either be paid or the council should acquire the land for a fair value. Of course, because it wasn't mandatory, councils have thumbed their nose at these rules and they've said, well, we don't care.
Well, haven't you got a right to your private property? Shouldn't we in a civilised country, if governments feel the need to take property for some legitimate purpose, shouldn't they pay fair compensation?
Absolutely. And in fact, there are moves afoot now. There's an inquiry going on about fair compensation and just terms compensation as it's known. But, you know, who at the end of the day is going to pay the bill? The council? Most of them are inadequately funded. They're badly run. They're broke. So, for instance, Byron Council, is it going to pay for one-third of the Shire's land? Of course not. They can't even pay, you know, for roads. I mean, it's a laughable situation that we're in.
But wasn't the...
...station is a noble thought, but it has no real application.
Yes, wasn't the O'Farrell government elected to reverse this sort of thing?
Look, I have to say we are liaising closely with the O'Farrell government, and in particular our own local minister, Don Page, who has been a Trojan, doing amazing work for us. And we have been told that the E2, E3 zones are going to be excised out of the draft LEPs. Now, that is fantastic, but the problem is, what's the next stage? So we have to be extremely wary. Sure, we've lifted them out of the draft LEPs, but that just means the councils then go back, spend more of the ratepayers' money proving their case, either well-proven or not at all well-proven, it doesn't matter, spending, you know, $450,000 against an individual landowner to, you know, show that theirs is a pristine property and should be included. And really, you're back to game one at that point in time. So really, the O'Farrell government has made the first step, but they really must follow this through and take it to the end game and pass legislation that ensures that property rights are preserved for all owners.
Shouldn't that be a constitutional guarantee? It is at the federal level. It's been written down by the High Court, but shouldn't it also exist at the state levels?
It seems that, and I'm no lawyer or academic, that somewhere along the line, council started interpreting that rather loosely.
Ricky Greenberg, that's been very good. Thank you very much for giving us this information. We'll keep in touch.
Thank you, David. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay.